Hey, everybody. On this Monday episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, I take your questions that you have emailed me, freedom@charliekirk.com. And we have a special guest to start our Ask Me Anything episode. Kyle Rittenhouse makes some big announcements. And then I take your questions. Should Christians watch content that involves swearing and potentially sexually explicit content? What happened to Paul Ryan? That's a tough, tough thing for me to talk about. That and so much more. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love when you subscribe, so thank you for subscribing. Get your friends to do the same and support The Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Look who I found at our Young Women's Leadership Summit.
Hey, Charlie, how's it going? How have you been? It's been a very long time since I've seen you. I feel like I see you every couple months now.
It's been a while. I ran into you very briefly at the 2000 Mules airing.
Yep.
And you were being mobbed.
So were you, Charlie. I saw.
I got out of there, though. It was too many people.
Yeah.
For those of you listening, you say, I know that voice. That's Kyle Rittenhouse, everybody. Kyle, welcome back to the program, and you look like you're doing great.
I am. I'm doing really good. I went wakeboarding over the weekend and wake surfing at AF Wake. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Extremely sore still. I don't feel my hands right now from holding on to the wakeboarding rope, but that's all right. It was awesome, and I can't wait to do it again.
So you sent out a tweet the other day that I thought was really important, which is, you know, without the Second Amendment, I wouldn't be alive.
Absolutely. The Second Amendment saved me. Like, if I didn't have that rifle to defend myself against those attackers, I would be dead.
And it's so critically important that people recognize that and realize that, that the Second Amendment saves people's lives every single day.
Absolutely.
You're living proof of that. And so you have a couple announcements that you want to make here on this program.
Yep.
And the first of which is, let's kind of talk about what you could talk about with the lawsuit stuff. Let's start there. So are you able to talk a little bit about the lawsuit stuff?
Well, what I will say is that we hired Todd McMurtry, Nick Sandman's attorney, to help with these lawsuits, and that we're going to be taking on some cases really soon.
I'm just saying, but new report out, Kyle, LeBron James is a billionaire now.
Oh.
Just I don't know if that's helpful. I don't know if that might be something that you guys might want to take a look at. But he could definitely pay. LeBron's got a lot of money.
And then the other thing is, I was actually in Texas a couple weeks ago, touring a couple campuses. Dave has some really good friends out there, so we went out there, and they're really connected with Texas A&M, and toured the campus. So
filled out. He's ready to make. This is like he's ready to make it. Wow, everybody, it's a big deal. Right here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Kyle Rittenhouse is announcing that he's an Aggie.
So I'm going to be going there. It's going to be awesome. Beautiful campus, amazing people, amazing food. We went to Dixie's Chicken there. Best burgers I've ever
That's
had.
That's why he's going.
Dixie's Chicken, everybody.
Now, you know what they say at A&M? They say gig'em.
Gig'em.
And you know how they say hello? They say howdy.
Howdy.
So there you go. And so are you gonna join the Corps of Cadets?
I haven't decided yet. I may.
You know what Kyle should do? You should become yell leader at Texas A&M. Do you know what the yell leader is?
What is the yell leader?
So the yell leader, I know a yell leader by the name of Jonathan. He's a good guy. So the yell leader, he is in charge of pumping up the 12th man, which is the crowd at A&M I think it's called Kyle Field.
Where's, yep.
Yeah, is that right? At Kyle Field. And the yell leader is this kind of like the guy that gets everyone going. You don't really strike me as a yell leader, but you should totally try for it. It's like a big deal. You're kind of known as kind of like the You can look it up. You know who was a Yale leader? It was Rick Perry was a Yale leader way back when. So if you want to be governor of Texas, you could become a Yale leader.
Oh, I think I may have to look at becoming a Yale leader. That sounds really fun. So what I do is I just go to all the football games and I start the chants, right?
So it's a little bit more involved than that. Yeah, people can look it up. No, it's called Aggie Yale Leaders, right? It's a big deal. There's one per class. There might be actually a couple now. But it's kind of like this tradition that they've had for a while. And so I love Texas A&M. You know who went to A&M is Sarah Schmachtenberger. Yeah, one of our team leaders.
Really?
Yeah, went to A&M. So she could come by and she's probably rejoicing. So you get to wear that beautiful uniform when you become a Yale leader.
You know, I could really pull off that uniform too. I think it'll really show my eyes, make them glow.
It will. So this is it, right? They're doing that. And so they're kind of like in charge of pumping up the crowd and all that. So A&M's a great place. I'm pleased for you, man. It's great.
Thank you, Charlie. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be an amazing experience where I can go and I can finally get an education. Over the past 6 months, I've been out having fun, living my life, being a free man. Now it's time to go and get an education, get good grades, and have successful some fun in life and have fun.
Yeah, you totally deserve it, man. A&M is a fun place to go to school.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a wonderful experience. And my favorite part is I'm going to be able to get an education.
So what are you going to be studying?
I haven't declared a major yet, and I don't have to. I still have a couple years. I already changed my mind like 3 times of what I wanted to do. I said on your show I wanted to be a lawyer. Now I want to be a pilot.
Pilots, yeah, they got a lot of options there, though.
Yep.
And you could join our Turning Point USA chapter, which you could always come by. I'm sure you'd be a rock star at our Turning Point USA
maybe
chapter. And they have, as I mentioned, they have the Corps of Cadets there. So, yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, we kind of remember how intense the trial was and kind of how all that was and what you've been through. And kind of as we're debating guns and all of that, it's without your ability to defend yourself, you know, you wouldn't be going to Texas A&M. You'd be going somewhere else, unfortunately. And so, yeah, I just think it's really important that we remember that and we ponder that. And, you know, we look at this kind of whole nationwide debate right now around firearms and around guns. I just think we have to remember that, you know, there's evil in this world.
Absolutely.
And self-defense is a human right.
Absolutely. Self-defense is a God-given right.
Yeah, it really is. And so, all right, well, let's take some questions from our audience here. You okay with that?
Yeah, let's take some questions.
All right, I'll answer them and you answer them. How about this one? So let me do this one. How early do you wake up?
It depends on the day. Today I woke up at 8:30. Yesterday I woke up at noon.
Okay, so it's a sliding scale. So I'm sure, you know, in college it'll be probably very similar.
Most of the time, because I fly early in the morning.
Yeah,
I wake up at 4:30.
Can you
sleep
on planes?
I can, but not when I'm flying.
Oh,
down.
So what you mean when you get your pilot?
Yeah,
when you're doing your pilot's deal. Okay.
I don't think my instructor would happy if I fell asleep.
I thought you meant as a passenger.
Yeah, as a passenger, I sleep in the plane.
Okay. Yeah, some people can't sleep on planes. So you're actively trying to get your pilot's license.
Yeah.
How is that going?
I'll have my private pilot license in July.
Really?
Yep.
How many hours do you have to do to put into that to get that?
You have to get 40 hours. I'm at about 20, 25 hours
now.
What
have you been flying?
I've been flying a Cessna Skyhawk 172.
That's amazing. What's the thing that you've learned that, like the thing that just stands out that you learned just about navigation, aviation?
The thing I've learned about aviation actually is not to panic if you do something wrong, to always fly the aircraft, just fly the plane and do that first before you do the next thing and just take a deep breath and something goes wrong. So we were doing a stall training and I pulled the yoke up way too back and I didn't have the ball centered and we started to go into a spin and that was a little scary, but
thankfully you had an instructor to kind of,
yeah. And I learned you use rudder like opposite of the spin and then throttle, get out of that stall and spin.
That's amazing. It is, it's awesome to see kind of people that get into aviation and really start to kind of understand it. And so you think you might have a career?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Flying is the best thing in the world. What I love most about flying is the freedom I have. Just up there in the clouds, there's nothing like it. Seeing God's creation.
Amen.
And just enjoying it, enjoying how the airplane flies and being in control of that plane.
I love
it. It's just the best thing in the entire planet.
Have you looked at how much of Russia is inside your 401k or IRA? Did you know my friends at Pax Financial Group have zero investments in Russia through their biblical investment strategy? Those companies were screened out long ago because they didn't pass the treat people right test. One of the most important tenets of the Christian faith is to love your neighbor, and this includes to love your employees. Based on Pax's biblical responsible investment strategy, a company, domestic or international, is excluded from an investment from your portfolio if it violates our innate God-given fundamental rights. So Pax Financial is wonderful. They share our values. In fact, I know people that have switched to Pax Financial from our partnership, and they speak so favorably about it. Stop using the woke money managers. Pax Financial is rooted in biblical wisdom. So if you have $150,000 or more and would like to know more about biblical responsible investing at Pax Financial Group, text CHARLIE to number 74868. That's CHARLIE at number 74868. That's CHARLIE to number 74868. So you just take out your phone, text the number 74868, and type in CHARLIE to get to know about Pax Biblical Responsible Investing. Biblical Responsible Investing Strategy. Take out your phone, text CHARLIE to 74868. They're about to manage some money for me. I really think highly of Pax Financial. Text CHARLIE to number 74868.
Yeah, so while I was on trial, I announced that I was going to not Texas A&M, ASU.
Yep, I remember.
And I sat on the stand, and then they came out immediately. They're like, no, he doesn't come here. They force withdrew me from classes. They didn't refund any of the money that I paid for the classes. And then once I was acquitted, they protested me. The school opened an investigation against me.
What?
And it's just ridiculous. Like, so what I had to go through at ASU just to try and get a fair education is ridiculous.
No, it's outrageous.
No American should ever have to go through that.
No, we're gonna work to get your money back. And then if we have a new governor, we got to make some changes at ASU. I'll tell you what, this is, you know, I live in Arizona, as you well know. We're not going to put up with it. This is a waste of time. Okay, so Kyle, we have a question here, freedom@charliekirk.com. Are you able to date?
Yeah, so
it's the Women's Summit, 2,500 options.
So actually, I do have a girlfriend. She's actually a TPUSA girl.
That's a big deal. I think I know who you're talking about. Not going to say any names. For the internet sleuths out there, you could try to figure it out. So tell us about her.
Well, she's amazing. I was actually with her a couple days ago at Lake Gaston. She got up on a wakeboard for the first time, and she absolutely shredded it. And did better than me. I hate to admit that, but I don't know what happened there.
See, he's honest. That's great. And so you're officially dating somebody.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing. And so that you just now made 2,500 young women really upset.
My apologies.
That's all right. But no, we're really happy with you. And it's major news, everybody. It's major news. Kyle Rittenhouse.
We'll be in headlines tomorrow, Charlie.
It's going to be all over.
Breaking. Right? Breaking news. Kyle Rittenhouse. Dates TPUSA Charlie Kirk girl.
Yeah,
well, that's what it's gonna say. That's what it's gonna say.
Just TPUSA.
Kyle Rittenhouse dates TPUSA.
There you go. Yeah, he dates the whole organization. We're not gonna put Kyle in charge of PR. What do you think? No, but it'll be Texas A&M. It'll be all of that. But no, Kyle, I think that I speak for a lot of our audience that, you know, people really feel like they got to know you, you know, throughout the last year, and people kind of saw in you a lot of their kids, their grandkids, and themselves of just kind of the falsely accused and an unbelievably aggressive prosecution, right? Like where the government has incredible power. And your case was kind of a guilty until proven innocent case. You almost had to prove your innocence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The prosecutor in this case tried to take away my rights. He did stuff to videos by like
altering them,
altering videos, changing stuff in them, then trying to use them, lying to the courts, and just prosecutorial overreach.
Yes.
And what we need to take away prosecutors' immunity, qualified immunity, because
I totally agree.
He needs to pay for what he did.
Is this Lunchbox or Binger?
This is both of them.
Both of them. Yeah.
Like
they're both just absolutely terrible. And so this is interesting because we're kind of living through this moment where we're not really appreciating kind of the presumption of innocence and due process and kind of the ability to be able to defend oneself. And you did this successfully, and you were able to kind of push back against a hyper aggressive government that wanted you in prison badly to try to score, you know, cheap political points, regardless of the consequences.
Yeah. So everybody has the right to defend themselves, defend their life, and then defend themselves in court. Binger didn't want me to defend myself at all. He tried to get the names of my donors from that donator, Free Kyle USA.
Wow.
There's so much corruption that went on in that office. And it really, it just hurts. It's kind of disturbing that a government agency can do that to an American citizen.
That they have that much power. But the good news is that, you know, your whole story, Kyle, is the Constitution at its best, from self-defense to due process. But, you know, we'll see what happens, everybody, with Kyle Rittenhouse in these lawsuits. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I just have to say, I'll just remind Kyle's team. Just remind them, LeBron James is a billionaire. Just in case you guys forgot. So,
and accountability is coming. So if you want to be updated on things, go to tmap.org. And we're going to
say that again.
Tmap.org.
T-M-A-P?
Yep, tmap.org.
tmap.org, which is the Media Accountability Project, and they could donate to support their accountability now, tmap.org.
Yep.
God bless you, Kyle. Have fun at Texas A&M. Congratulations on the girlfriend.
Thank you, Charlie.
Will remain nameless, and enjoy the Young Women's Leadership Summit as 2,500 young conservative women get very jealous of a certain person. We'll see what happens. Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion, and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long, made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. It's a question from Brooke. Hi, Charlie. You mentioned liking the Netflix series Ozark several podcasts ago, and if I'm not mistaken, it was just a side on to all that would happen to Netflix diminishing ratings as of late. I decided to check it out, and I enjoy new dramas and thrillers. Thrillers to an extent. I am only a few episodes into season one, and while I actually enjoy the storyline and plot, it does seem to contain, hold on one second, contain all the modern-day adult content, language, sex, nudity, violence, etc., that most drama series do. After mulling it over, I want to ask your opinion on Christians watching such content. This is really not about Ozark specifically, but Ozark did ignite a spark of all movies and shows that provide such content. Please do not misunderstand my question as stemming from judgment from a place of genuine sincerity. It's beautifully written. Thank you. I know we are here to walk in our convictions with fear and trembling, and one person's convictions may or may not be another's. But I know the Bible also empathizes being holy as he is holy. How do you reconcile what you watch and hear back to the Bible? Is it just a matter of fast-forwarding certain scenes or actually watching them because they are not your convictions? Again, this is said with complete sincerity. Thank you for your potential response. I very much enjoy your podcast and listen just about every day. God bless TPUSA and all the work you're called to do. Cheers, Brooke. What a great question. So I'll take kind of the Ozark question in particular. And look, this is a struggle that I have, and I think a lot of other people have, which is kind of where do you draw the line between the content that you consume when it might be filled with all this other bad language and potentially sexually explicit scenes, and also trying to, you know, find some form of entertainment or appreciation of art. And it's a kind of a constant struggle. So I've developed a couple rules for myself, which is I don't watch it alone. I'll watch it with my wife. And if we feel that the smuttiness or the nonsense of it just reaches such a threshold, we just turn it off. Now, I'll be very honest. Ozark is an exception to my general rule. Ozark, and first of all, the last season was absolutely dreadful and awful. It ended terribly. So don't waste your time. But the first and second and third season of Ozark, I think, is some of the best written television that I have seen outside of the smuttiness and the gross, awful nature of some of the content. But the actual storyline of what will you do with your family? Will you descend? How far can you descend into darkness? Can you stop yourself on the moral continuum is legitimately very, very well written art and very real moral situations that I think people find themselves in on a daily basis. And so the question is kind of, where do you strike that balance? You have to pray for wisdom and prudence. And so when I watch Ozark, I'm not like super excited that they're swearing every other word. I mean, Ruth Langmore in the series, you literally can't see a scene where she's not saying F this and F that. Like it just gets to be almost overkill. In fact, it got to the point that actually in the last season, I said, does she say anything else besides a swear word to just open up every single sentence? It just kind of became this running joke. It almost became unenjoyable to watch. But I suppose a better kind of example of kind of where do you draw the line is kind of like a series such as Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad has some very strong kind of some very strong arguments that could be made within the series that question kind of how does one, Breaking Bad and Ozark are similar in the sense, how does one control, if at all, the descent into darkness? Does the end justify the means? These are very, you know, clear moral questions. And this is a question kind of in art in general, right? So this is something where someone asked me, hey, Charlie, why do you recommend 1984? It has a sex scene in it. And I get that. And the question is, does the art potentially justify enduring the smut? That's the question you have to ask, which is what is art, right? The art is the portrayal of what is good, true, or beautiful in a way that can communicate it and hopefully develop your soul and create a better person. And so in the case of either Breaking Bad or Ozark or House of Cards, where they have these kind of violent scenes and the stuff that can be rather unenjoyable, I'm not saying that you should support it, but there can be an argument, at least in my personal life, where I don't support it. I might fast forward through certain scenes of it. I might skip ahead, but there is some beautiful, I think, writing happening that can portray a broader kind of moral paradigm, right? And here's the problem, is that most Christian films and most Christian content that is Christian explicit, their writing is awful and their production value is terrible. It just is. Now, The Chosen, I actually think, is an exception to that. But I even get hate mail when I plug The Chosen because people say, Charlie, it's extra biblical and it's inferring things that Jesus said. Again, I have kind of a mixed opinion. I could see it both ways. But I think for parents out there, you're probably going through the very same struggle that I go through because I try to police what I consume. I think you become what you consume, from music to the things you look at to the television shows. And so I make no qualms about it. Breaking Bad to House of Cards to Ozark, which are three shows that I'm very familiar with and that I think have some, let's just say, some lessons that could be learned from. A House of Cards to a lesser extent, that's kind of just drivel post-season one. You have to look at it first and from an adult context, and you ask yourself, what is the goal? Being entertained is part of the goal, but if you feel as if it pushes yourself to boundaries where you ask yourself the question, what would I do in a situation like this? Could I ever see myself? I mean, look, part of the attraction of the writing in the film, in the TV series Ozark, until it kind of went off the reservation when it went kind of in just this incredibly morally confusing bend towards the end, the worst ending of a television show I've ever seen, period. Made Game of Thrones ending look good, which is this question of you could see an aspirational kind of suburban money manager like Marty Bird making this kind of sequence of choices. Oh, yeah, I just want to make a little money. I'll take the meeting. And next thing you know, you're laundering money for the Mexican drug cartel. And all of a sudden, it's kind of the small sins become the big sins. Now, for some of you, say, Charlie, I don't need to listen to a bunch of people swearing or look at, you know, scenes of strippers to get that lesson. That's fine. I totally get it. However, you all of that aside, and you kind of all of that put kind of it on its own category, on its own shelving, I think it's one of the most compelling pieces of drama and art that really challenge the viewer to be like, hey, you better be very careful because you all of a sudden might be end up in a place that you might not recognize or realize. So anyway, all that aside, I think you have to have your own standards. You have to understand what is the intent of consuming that art. I won't defend it. I got another really angry email about Ozark from a listener. I totally get it. I'm not going to defend the content, I'll say. But I will kind of challenge you to say that finding things that are telling stories that might improve your own character or challenge you or are written creatively, I think is something that done in the proper context can be helpful. And look, you're fooling yourself if you are saying you could totally shield yourself from every swear word or every piece of nonsense in the world. With that being said, you shouldn't have the intent, the heart to try to overexpose yourself in those things, find enjoyment in them instead, see if there's a bigger picture you could take away from there. Beautiful question. Thank you. Spent a little more time on that than I would have expected, but thank you for that question. Okay. Hello, my name is Hannah Jones and I'm 13 years old. I'm in ninth grade. And as a homeschooler, I have a question. Okay to air, by the way. Do you believe President Biden should be impeached or criminally charged? If so, with what? How should vaccines in Afghanistan have been handled? I'm not going to talk about the vaccine in Afghanistan stuff. We talked a lot about early treatments and all that. I will say this, though. I don't think we should try to impeach Joe Biden. I think that's largely a waste of time. We should try to impeach his cabinet. I think that is the best use of time. I think we should impeach Merrick Garland and impeach that guy that runs the Department of Education for a breach of duty and pushing back against basically what they were sworn to protect and preserve. I think that's a much better use of time. And thank you, Hannah, for your question. I deeply appreciate that. Okay. Let's go here to this question. Cindy from Sun City, Arizona. It appears Congress wants to take away an 18-year-old's right to own a gun or rifle. Should they also take away their right to vote? Just thinking, evidently, they don't trust an 18-year-old anymore. And why would that be? Now, I do support 18-year-old's right to vote. However, let's just be very clear. If the voting age was raised to 21, Republicans would win a lot more elections. I don't support it. I actually think 18-year-olds should be able to vote because I think these all so this is a very interesting argument. And I don't quite know how I feel about it, but to be philosophically consistent, it's difficult, which I do think that it's interesting, which is the drinking age, right? So you can serve in the military, you could buy a firearm, you could vote. So basically, and also the other reason around 18, just so we're very clear, and some people say it's arbitrary, but you have to pick a date, you have to pick a time. You become an adult when you're 18. When you are 18, you can no longer be charged as a minor. Juvenile courts end, you become an adult. From my very basic understanding of the law, when you're 18, you can emancipate yourself from your parents. You are no longer under guardianship or parental control when you become 18. And so with all that being said, if we want to now define what an adult is and go to 21, then you have to also change voting alongside of it, which they're not going to do. You have to change firearm around, and then you also have to change military service. And that's not going to happen because the steady flow of recruitment into the United States military are largely 18-year-olds, predominantly, that want to kind of break out of their family or their community and want to do something right when they're 18. Like they're 18, they feel like they want to get their life back on track in the military, and they want to serve their country, obviously. It's not negative in any way. But that, I think, would heavily impact military recruitment. If all of a sudden you said you're 20, you're not, you can only serve when you're 21. So the question is, if you are willing to send somebody to Ukraine or Iraq or Afghanistan to defend your freedoms, shouldn't they also be able to own a gun here domestically and to vote? The question is, when does someone become an adult? If we want to broaden that and we say, hey, if someone does not become an adult till they're 25, then you must fix all the other correlated issues alongside of it. You cannot have those kind of inherent contradictions. Okay, let's go to this one here. Hi, Charlie. Did you know that federally funded TSA has a gun safety carry-on plane program that major airline pilots can sign up for and then conceal carry onto their flights? Yep. Any pilot, preferably former military, they most prefer former military, can sign up and get training necessary to carry and thus further protected their passengers. Interesting that teachers aren't offered the same opportunity by the same governments. Am I right? That's such a good point. And yes, I did know that. Now, I got a very, very smart email, though. I got to tell you, we have the best listeners. I love you guys. He said, Charlie, I got to ask you a question. Why would we want to arm the teachers that I keep on seeing on Libs of TikTok? It's such a good point. It's such a beautiful point, which is all of these left-wing teachers that we bash on this program, the kind of trans people like, I don't know if you should have a firearm in your class. I don't think that's a good idea. Which is, I'm a little bit increasingly mixed on it. And so, yeah, I mean, that's not a slight against it, but I think if you got to arm a teacher, you got to go through training, you got to go through rigor, you got to go through a fair amount of, let's just say, immersion into what a firearm is and how to use it. So there's some teachers, I don't teach them teaching. I don't know. So that was a very smart point. He said, Charlie, I'm a little torn. He said, based on everything you've been telling me about teachers, I don't think I want them to have a 9mm in their drawer. It's something to think about. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. I want to tell you about Good Ranchers. Look, Father's Day is coming up, and I know a lot of dads out there would love nothing more than a box of meat. Summer grilling season, barbecues, grill outs, big summer holidays are on the horizon. And I know a lot of people are saying, what do I get dad for Father's Day? The best thing to get him on Father's Day is something from GoodRanchers.com. Food shortages are on the rise. And I want to tell you about this limited time deal. Don't miss out on your free 18-ounce ribeye because they won't be here for long. These steaks are truly amazing and you'll love them. Good Ranchers is giving away 2 free 18-ounce prime center cut ribeyes. They are USDA prime, 100% American steakhouse quality cuts of beef. Other places will charge you over $50 a steak for ribeyes like these, but today you can get 2 of them for free at goodranchers.com with promo code Kirk. That's goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. Good Ranchers quality is amazing, everybody. Ribeyes, T-bones, chicken, salmon, and more. It is a great thing to give your father for Father's Day. With uncertainty in supply chains and what the grocery stores will have available, Good Ranchers is a reliable place to get your essentials. They send you a box of meat. So they basically send you a box of happiness. Enough of this vegan fake meat stuff. It's all a scam. It's a con. It's creating all sorts of weird things in our society. Get back to red meat. Get back to real things that matter. Having Good Ranchers in your home supports the Charlie Kirk Show, supports American ranchers, and feeds your family. So go to goodranchers.com and use promo code Kirk, and it will give you 2 free 18-ounce prime center cup ribeyes. goodranchers.com/Kirk. And again, American meat delivered. Say that again. Write it down and remember it. American meat delivered. Again, the 2 ribeye steaks, over $100 value. I want to tell you, I love meat. You should too. Even if you don't like meat, tell the person who does to check out goodranchers.com. A box of beautiful meat and 2 free ribeyes can be yours right now. Check it out. goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. Rob from Huntsville. What is the most compelling argument for having Trump be the 2024 Republican candidate? I hear so many people talking about DeSantis, but I still think Trump is who I trust to lead conservatives. We took the poll, Trump versus DeSantis here, and Trump did win. I would say he won probably 60% of the vote. It was thousands and thousands and thousands. So we did a little bit of a spot test, and it was Trump, 60%. And so what is one of the arguments that I think we have to talk about, though, is, you know, Paul Ryan is out here admonishing people. This is so hard for, I'll be very honest, this is very tough for me. So I feel like it's just the different lives I've lived. Paul Ryan tears into fellow Republicans who didn't have the guts to impeach Trump. I used to be the biggest Paul Ryan fan. I was like the nerd out Paul Ryan fan. I thought he was the guy. It's like that scene in Star Wars where Obi-Wan Kenobi is screaming at Anakin, "You were the chosen!" And he says his hair is a mess and he's sweating. He's on the volcano, right? And Anakin's arms and legs have just been cut off. And he's like, "You were supposed to be the one!" Cut 100. Paul Ryan, play tape.
Hey, this is Paul Ryan. I am here in Florence, South Carolina, campaigning for my good friend Tom Rice, a man who deserves re-election. Look, there are 2 kinds of people in Congress, workhorses and show horses. Entertainers, policymakers. Tom Rice is a workhorse. He's a policymaker. He's a person who is in a very good spot to make a big difference for South Carolinians. He's a senior member of the Ways and Means Committee. He's going to have a huge impact when we get the majority. So I just encourage everybody to support a hardworking, principled conservative, Tom Rice, the man that I know in Congress who thinks every day, what can I do to solve my constituents' problems? That's who Tom Rice is. That's why he deserves your support in re-election.
First of all, I mean, I don't know if something's wrong. Paul Ryan looks like hell. He does not look good. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that. But secondly, I used to love the man. And I was a huge Paul Ryan fan. And I hear his voice and I actually can feel almost the kind of neuroplasticity in my brain because I was programmed to like him so much. Like, yes, we're going to out-wonk the left. We're going to outthink them. We are going to kind of have better policy. What was Paul Ryan like? Play the Anakin clip.
You were the chosen one! It was said that you would destroy this and not join them. Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness.
That was Paul Ryan. He was the chosen one. What is the positive of Trump? We don't have to deal with any of these guys in term two. We know them all. They've all revealed themselves. Paul Ryan is campaigning, by the way, in that clip for Tom Rice, who tried to impeach Donald Trump, who called Trump a tyrant. What is the positive of the second term Trump? We know who's with Trump. The people are now in charge. And the other point that I want to make clear, we have infrastructure now. There's legitimate infrastructure around the America First movement. There's real allies that are going to be going to Congress, like J.D. Vance. There's real organizations that are now positioned around these policies that are very popular. When Donald Trump came in 2016, there was no infrastructure, from donors to think tanks to Tucker Carlson was not even on the air. I want you to think about that. Tucker Carlson did not have his program when Donald Trump won in 2016. It was the O'Reilly factor. I love Bill O'Reilly, but it's a separate philosophical approach to politics where Tucker Carlson is now the spokesperson and the leader on it. So what exists now is real infrastructure, a real way to hold people accountable. And there is no constituency for Paul Ryan. There is not a constituency for Mitt Romney, who, of course, they ran together. And yeah, I was a huge fan of his. I loved his kind of wonkiness. I was so naive to believe we could take back America through major policy debates on the equilibrium of trade policy and Medicare and Social Security. All of that is important. I think there's a place for that. But we are wartime conservatives. We better realize what time it is. I know you do. Where Joe Biden is withholding school lunch funding if they do not comply with transgender chemical castration. Yeah, this is not a big policy debate, Paul Ryan. That debate is over. We want our country back. It's a different country. And you were the chosen one. What is the benefit of Donald Trump? Term two, we don't have to deal with any of these people. They've either self-selected, retired, and the real allies are going to be in Congress. It's a very, very big deal. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.